In this episode of Movie Rollers, we're going to review The East and The Fast and Furious 6. It's time for Movie Rollers. Hi, this is Joe.
Hi, it's Rashmi.
And Yazdi as well.
Movie Rollers is your weekly dose of film reviews, movie news and general banter in theatres, on DVD, online streaming or in the back of an airplane. If you love the movies, this show is for you. This is our third podcast in a row that we're recording.
Back to back.
This is the two films I'm super excited to talk about.
Fast and Furious?
No.
And The East.
Really?
After we just spoke about Before Midnight.
I know, but in a different way.
Okay, this will be interesting.
Yeah.
Well, this may be one podcast that Rashmi's niece, Deepal, will listen to, because she was a huge fan of Fast Five. In fact, didn't we get her on the podcast?
Yes, we did, yeah. Last year.
That's right. Yeah, it'd be interesting to talk about that. So which one do you want to do first, The East or Fast and Furious?
Let's do Fast and Furious first.
All right. So Rashmi, I think
I have the interest to both of them, yes. So, the whole gang is back for the sixth installment of Fast and Furious, where Hobbs has Dom and Brian reassemble their crew in order to take down a mastermind who commands an organization of mercenary drivers across 12 countries. Payment, full pardons for all of them. This is directed by Justin Lin and written by Chris Morgan, Gary Scott Thompson, and stars Vin Diesel, Paul Walker, Dwayne Johnson, the whole gang. So, who wants to go first? Let's go with the car fanatic. Joe.
So, this was the easiest review that I've ever written, okay? We've done how many episodes of Movie Rollers? About 190 now. Of all the reviews that I've ever written for the show, this was the easiest. Here we go. Fast cars, hot chicks, muscles rippling and flexing everywhere, fun guns, explosions. What's not to love? This movie was ridiculous entertainment, but entertaining it was. I just wished it had been a bit more fun. That was my note for Fast Five. And that's exactly how I felt about Fast and Furious 6. It was fun. I mean, you know, it was not a great movie. I didn't love Fast 5, I think, in the way that you did. I think
I
Fast
loved
5,
it.
Yes, yeah. I know you loved it to bits, but this was just more of the same. And to its core fans, this series, I think, is going to continue delivering, you know, thrills and spills. To those of us that aren't quite as tuned in with the whole Fast 5, Fast and Furious feeling, like me, you'll get adequate entertainment. Just know what you're going to get. You'll come out with a smile on your face and you'll feel like your $10 was well spent.
Yes, Dee. Did this deliver as much?
I agree with Joe. I mean, this is not Lincoln and this is not Sophie's Choice.
Thank God.
You know? And in many ways, films like this are completely critic-proof. I mean, people are going to go watch this movie in droves on opening night, and it's going to make a truckload of money. In fact, it already has. So I think the only question that matters when you're talking about a movie like this is whether it's just like awful or unwatchably inept. And the answer is no. I think it's reasonably well made and it's not awful. I actually thought it is not as good as the fifth one. I really like the fifth one. I'm with your niece Deepa there. I mean, I thought that movie had so much fun in it. This movie seemed to be, the effort seemed to show a little bit. It seemed to be trying a little bit hard. But, you know, of course, the whole premise of the movie is preposterous beyond reason. And I think that's why people have endorsed this franchise. It's just weightless escapism. And, you know, blessedly, there are no terrorists and there are no statements about how we live right now. It's just cheesy entertainment. And I think there is a place for that. And that's the reason why this is, to everybody's surprise, holding up as a surprisingly robust franchise. It's making a lot of money.
Okay, so as we've kind of said a few times through the show, my niece is obsessed with this Fast and Furious series, and she literally will, when at any moment she's got, I think she'll like literally start from one and watch them all through.
I was going to say, did they go to the midnight showing?
No, but our British listeners actually got to see the movie before we did, because it opened in England before it did in the US. So she calls me up and she says, I've got tickets to the 9 o'clock showing on the day it opens. And I got a text from her as soon as she stopped watching the film from the cinema seat. And this is what the text said. It was awesome, with about 500 O's in the middle of the awesome. And, you know, there's an 8-hour time difference. So this chick is serious about her Fast and Furious. And I'm happy to say I thought it was awesome. Two.
Really?
This is the most fun one can have at the movies. Was it perfect? No. But was it fun? Hell yes.
All the problems that I had with Fast Five are just repeated here. I mean, you know, Vin Diesel's boobs were bigger than most of the girls' boobs. The Rock and the Diesel had arms that were bigger than the girls' waist.
Honestly, those guys need to stop working. They need to stop working out right now. They've become caricatures of themselves. I mean, The Rock looks ridiculous. I was laughing when I was looking at him. I mean, please, dude, take a break.
They are the steroid-using poster boys. I mean, boy, oh boy. They must have no testicles left.
But look, this is the thing, okay? Let's not talk about Vin Diesel and Dwayne Johnson. To me, what's interesting is that this is the sixth installment of a series, and it maintains its entertainment. And I think it's just because it's not trying to be more than it is. Mm-hmm. It's just having fun. I mean, I think that at times it reminded me a bit of the Ocean's trilogy, but there's nothing wrong with that. I think it's just fun.
Yeah, I mean, my one complaint about, I have many complaints, but my one big complaint is I think this is now getting very crowded. They seem to be bringing in new characters with every movie. I mean, in this movie, Gina Carano is brought in. And it's getting, I mean, there's a lot of players in, you know, in this group of people, and it becomes hard for them to give equal screen time, you know, to the Paul Walker character and the Dwayne Johnson character and the Vin Diesel character and the Michelle Rodriguez character and who am I forgetting? Ludacris and who? I mean, there's so many of them, and it's starting to seem a bit crowded to me.
Yeah, I can see that. But I mean, as an ensemble cast, I think it works very well because, you know, Oceans is a great comparison because they didn't really fight for screen time there. And I don't think that this movie saw them jostling for screen time. They were a team. And I think that dynamic worked very well.
Yeah.
You know, in the context of the movie, it didn't seem to be, you know, Vin Diesel's movie, for example. It didn't seem to be The Rock's movie. They were equally on pedestals as far as the audience is concerned.
I think it is a little bit more Vin Diesel's movie than anybody else's.
I don't disagree with that, Yasmin.
Yeah, all right.
Just a little bit more.
I'll give you
just
that.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, again, I like that it's true to its core. This is about the cars and the racing. And there are some amazing sequences with the cars that are really fun to watch, even for a person who doesn't love driving or isn't obsessed by cars. I mean, you're the car lover amongst us, Joe. So, yeah, I mean, as I'm watching, I was like, wow, this is great. I love these stunts they're doing. I would love to do that down the road here to the office. But
I mean, some of those stunts, especially in this movie, really strain credulity. Okay,
there's some
the physics is just
there's some of the stuff, you know. I actually said, come on.
Well, there was one on the motorway flyover.
Correct.
This big suspension bridge or something like
and
that.
And she jumps out of on the other side of the car and she twists and he comes out and grabs and she lands. I mean, it was just
it's love, Yasti. That's what happens when you're in love.
Cool, right? I mean, that was the whole point of that stunt.
And how
it was to look cool.
It was
badassness, but not totally unrealistic.
Of course. I mean, my point is, if you're going to do it, this is how you should do it.
Yeah.
Right? And how ridiculous was that, the last, you know, the climax of the movie. You know, I don't know if it was inspired by Argo, you know, with the plane taking off and those guys following in cars. I kept thinking, was this inspired by Argo? But it completely preposterous, but it works.
That was the world's longest runway.
It was ridiculous.
You had a plane that was taxiing down the runway at full speed.
For like 20 minutes.
For 20 minutes. I was like, they could have driven there by now. Right. Like, what's the point? What's the point of this whole sequence? But you know what? It was big and it was explosions and it was a satisfying finale to this kind of movie. So, you know.
And I mean, that ending did go on a bit, but it wasn't as annoying as, say, the one from Iron Man 3 that we talked about a few episodes ago.
Right.
There was just one scene. I had just one scene in the movie that I thought was useless, and that was I'm not going to give it away, but it was the scene involving the jail. And I just thought, really, that was a bit throwaway, I thought.
Yeah.
Could have done without that. I'll tell you after. It would be a spoiler. But
yeah, how do you spoil this movie?
Anyway.
Really.
That's fine.
But that's it. Okay. Anything more, or should we wind this one up?
Let's wind this one up.
Joe, car lover,
Okay, so I'm going to go back to my Fast Five review for the summary here.
That's so mighty lazy.
It's really
using
lazy.
Using your Fast Five review for your Fast and Furious 6.
But kind of as lazy as they were in recrafting this movie. Dialogue at some at points is atrocious. The story at some points is, well, just silly. I thought it was more roid rage than road rage, but I had a good, decent amount of fun watching it. So I'm going to give it a 6 out of 10, which is stingy, because it was more fun than that. And don't let that...
How much?
6 out of 10.
Come on, Rush.
Why is she screwing her face up at me here?
He can give the... Wow. He can give the score he wants.
It was more fun than that. And my expectations were in... you know what? That was my Fast Five score. So you know what? I'll give this one a 7 out of 10 because I did have more fun with this one in some ways than I did Fast Five.
Yeah, see the power of a screwed up face.
Well, it's not going to work on me.
No. But know what you're getting into when you go to see this one and enjoy it for what it is. You know, if you're going to go see this movie, you've probably already seen it. Our review doesn't matter, as you said, Yazdi.
Yes, Dee.
So, I, unlike you, Joe, I think this movie lacks the fun, breezy cleverness of the fifth installment or the fifth installment in the series, and which is surprising because it's directed by the same person, Justin Lin. But having said so, you know, the movie delivers what it's supposed to. It does it in an inventive way. These actors have good chemistry together. The locations are fun. It gets its job done admirably. I can't fault it for being an excellent entertainer. I give it a 6.5 out of 10, which I'll bump up to 7.
I love the baddies, but I love the buddies even more. This is the most fun I've had at the movies all year.
What?
Yeah, it was the most fun. Think of a more fun movie.
Oblivion.
That was heavy at times.
True.
Fun. I'm talking about, like, you know, balls to the wall fun. I am determined to watch 1 through 5 now because I've only watched 5 and 6. I think that's my theme, isn't it? I come in late.
Yes.
So I'm going to take the title 6 and multiply it by 1.5, and my score is 9 out of 10.
No, come on.
I love Fast and Furious 6.
No, you come on. Not 9 out of 10.
Good for you, because there will be a Fast and Furious 7.
Yay!
And 8. And 9.
And may they go on 10. Forever. This is so fun. It was filmed in London, which I loved.
It just makes for easy reviewing. I love it. I'm going to use the same review for the next few movies. It'll work just fine.
And I think we underestimate, like we were talking earlier with Angel, when this is not done well, you can tell.
Yes.
But when it's done well, you don't notice it. It's hard to do it well, I think.
Yeah.
Because we've seen 100 bad, cheesy action movies, and you know when it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Yeah. But for a movie that's about cars, it's not actually all about cars. It appeals
to
the
kids.
You know what it appeals to? It appeals to those kids that buy the Honda Civics and then they lower them and then they put the big reels on them and then they put the spoilers and the lights and the big fat exhaust on the back. You know, that's the kind of racer that this appeals to, not necessarily people who are, you know, into cars.
Speedy, yeah.
Right.
And the other thing is, I think the
Rashmi.
Yeah, Rashmi does want flashing lights in her car.
No, ooh. I want that light underneath the chassis.
Have you seen that?
The blue one.
I really want that.
Reflects down onto the floor. It would be cheesy, and I'm not letting you do it.
Okay.
And I'm not putting it on your
and
car.
And I really wanted lights on my registration plate.
That you can have. I'm sure.
I do want the blue light under the chassis, though.
I mean, the other funny thing is this franchise started out about people who love to race, and now it's become about people who are like...
Espionage.
Yeah. It's become all-out James Bond now. So how did they become, like, from race car drivers to people who...
Born Identity.
Born Identity, but anyway.
It builds and it builds and it builds, and yeah, next one will be in space or something
like that. I was just going to say that.
Fast and Furious, go to Mars.
Okay, let's do the next movie. The East.
So the next movie, right, is The East. And yes. I think, Rashmi, you're going to introduce this one well. Busy night for you tonight.
It is. And as Yazdi was saying, didn't we watch this one in 2005? Okay, The East. Whoa. So a completely different movie now. Complete change of genre. An operative for an elite private intelligence firm finds her priorities irrevocably changed after she is tasked with infiltrating an anarchist group known for executing covert attacks upon major corporations. This is directed by Zal Batmanglij, who also directed with Britt Marling before, and writing credits are same guy and Britt Marling, who wrote the screenplay, and stars Britt Marling, Alexander Skarsgård, Ellen Page, Patricia Clarkson, Jason Ritter, amongst others.
So just to clarify that point, Sound of My Voice was the movie that
the director directed
last year. And Rashmi, that was one of your top 10 movies of the year. Was it, it even was. Top five for
I
you?
Think it was my top movie of the year. One of the top movies of my year.
So, yeah. I mean, this had a lot of weight of expectations as far as you're
it
concerned.
It did, yeah.
But anyway, Yazdi, what do you think of The East?
I liked watching the movie because in many ways it is quite unlike anything I've seen before. Certainly in terms of the story arc, it's a very different idea of people who are these eco-terrorists, you know, who are on a mission to get back at evil corporations which are polluting the earth and so forth. So I found the movie very, very compelling and enjoyable while I was watching it. But my big disappointment with the movie was that it becomes the thing that it is criticizing. Okay, very early on, one of the characters in the movie says, "Why is it that all radical groups are so self-righteous?" And then the movie becomes self-righteous. I thought it kind of is trying to make a point, but then it kind of suffers from the very point it's trying to protest against.
Joe?
I mean, I thought this movie, like you, yesterday, began very well. I think the opening half in particular was really inventive and breathless and lots of tension and drama. And then, like, I mean, I didn't quite see that point that you made there, but I did find that in about halfway through Act Two, it starts to kind of get itself tied up with a couple of twists, and then the construction all goes to pot. But it did recover towards the end. I mean, I thought the finale of the movie was you know, a big satisfying movie moment. So overall, I thought this was really good stuff.
Yeah, I'm totally unbiased when it comes to Britt Marling because I think she's one of my favorite actresses. And she did not disappoint in this movie. I think this wasn't as impactful or as impressive as The Sound of My Voice. Joe, you're right. I mean, it did have the weight of expectations for me. But it was still a really good movie that I enjoyed.
Just to talk to your point on Britt Marling, I mean, I love her. I think she's going to be one of these breakout stars, and I think that moment is coming for her. She's going to get some big role here. I think, you know, part of me wishes that she would, you know, go out and do something like date Matthew McConaughey, or, you know, just so that the world would know who she is and like know these movies, because I think she's such a rising star, but she's not broken through yet, and she's really talented.
You know, since you all are singing the chorus for Britt Marling, I'll add to it. I think we need to celebrate Britt Marling. I mean, in many ways, she's kind of like Lena Dunham's contemporary sister because, you know, she co-writes, she co-directs and stars in her own productions. And, you know, I can think of very few 20-year-olds right now who are that talented and so driven to do things on their own terms. I mean, she essentially is making these movies with her best buddy from college.
Yeah.
And, you know, getting noticed and good for her.
Yeah, I think so this is the thing. I tried to kind of work out what went wrong in the movie. I mean, I think what I liked about this was in The Sound of My Voice, you know, Marling plays the cult leader. And I think in this film, she almost plays the follower. And if you think about the terrorist group, how they're set up, it's kind of like a cult. And I liked how it explored the psyche of these people. Not that I'm, you know, in any way kind of, you know, agree with what they're doing in the movie or what they're showing. But I think it was definitely, like you guys were saying, a film of two halves. And the first half was really good at making you ask the question of good versus evil. What is good and what is evil? And of course, it's going to make you think of things like WikiLeaks. That's the thing that came to my mind. But I think the second half really did suffer.
Mm-hmm. I think it wasn't clear where it stood morally initially. And then, you know, one of the characters has this big change of heart, and then it almost seemed like it was making a political statement.
Right.
So it kind of lost a bit of the steam. Great acting here, though. I mean,
really good.
Britt Marling's
great.
Alexander Sarsgaard, who I've now seen in three movies in a row.
Yeah.
He was in Disconnect.
He was
he's very good.
He's most well known as the vampire from True Blood.
Yeah.
Eric the Vampire.
Yeah. Did you guys notice that at the beginning of the movie, they almost made him look like Jesus? I don't know if that was intentional.
Yes.
Well,
did you get that reference?
Yeah, absolutely.
No, I didn't see
He had the long hair and the beard and, you know, the kind of the stereotype
lighting.
Jesus portrait.
And Patricia Clarkson is in here. She's very good. She is. I think it's very watchable.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this is the kind of movie that I wouldn't hesitate to recommend to anybody who wants to see just a decent thriller. You know, it's not a great movie. It's just, it's a good thriller. And I loved, the first half was so well done. Like,
The tension and the...
Yeah, the whole infiltrating the gang and the situations that the Britt Marling character puts herself in and gets herself into
out of.
And then the risks that she takes in order to deal with the things that are being thrown her way. So really, that was superb. And I think, up until about the halfway point, I was thinking this was going to be,
a great movie.
In the end, it kind of fizzled out and lost a bit of steam. But
I'm feeling a score coming on.
Sure, yeah. I mean, I think overall, I wouldn't hesitate to recommend this to people. 7 out of 10 for me. I think it's a good, enjoyable movie. It's not one that I would say rush out to the movie theater to go watch. You know, this is one that you'll be quite entertained if you got it on DVD or saw it on the plane or something like that.
Yes, Steve.
This is a well-made movie. It has some problems that we've already talked about. And I would ordinarily give it a 6 out of 10, but I want to commend everything about how this movie has been made. I think it represents what's right about filmmaking and that people just write their own stuff. They act in it, go grassroots and get movies like this made. And so I really want to encourage that kind of movie making. So I give it 7 out of 10.
Yeah, for me, a great smaller movie with a great cast. This will keep you guessing for the most part and give you anxiety at times. I was hoping for a little bit more out of this, given Sound of My Voice was one of my favorites and I love Britt Marling. I was hovering between 6 and 7, but I have to give it a 7. 7 out of 10.
In spite of Ellen Page.
In spite of Ellen Page. And I wasn't going to bring it up until, I was actually going to. I wanted to slap her.
Another slappable.
Another slappable actress. She's just got that. She's almost as annoying as Keira Knightley another way.
No, Keira Knightley is way.
But she's always looks like she's been smacked on her bottom.
That's just because you're remembering the character of Juno.
No, she was as annoying in this one.
No, Juno was annoying.
But it worked in this one.
It was Juno that was annoying, not Ellen Page. Juno.
And I didn't like her from Rome with Love either.
Oh, she was bad. She wasn't. Yeah. She was miscast. She wasn't bad. Yeah.
Okay, The East.
Okay, so it concludes our two movies for today. Do let us know what you think. Do you agree with us? Do you disagree with us? Let us know. Mail at moviewallers.com, twitter.com/moviewallers, and facebook.com/moviewallers as well. That's the last of the 3 podcasts we did in this one mammoth recording session. Thank you, Angel, for being our live studio audience. Until our next episode, it's Too Many Movies, Too Little Time. A good night from me.
And me.
And me as well.